This morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, reading from verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22. Jesus walks on the sea, and this incident happened just shortly after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen and that God would bless his own word to us at this time. We turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. And we think about that passage which we read about Jesus walking on the sea. But before that, let me ask you, are you limping when you could be walking strong? Whimpering when you could be whistling? Crying when you could be laughing? Are you being defeated by your problems? Facing frustrations which are discouraging you? Heartaches which are depressing you? Are your projects and your dreams struggling when they could be thriving? Sinking when they could be growing? Then this book is for you. This is your chance to change your thinking and change your life. That is an extract from an American book on successful Christian living. It's called Move Ahead with Possibility Thinking. And although our initial reaction to that is probably, well, that's not much more than some American hype, I think that quote sums up, more or less, the expectations of a lot of people in relation to the Christian life. That being, that God will work things out to our advantage, and that everything will work out finally to our success. But as we saw in our reading today, being a disciple of Jesus Christ, and even listening to the commands of Jesus, can bring with it many difficulties. I'm sure you've all heard of the woman who went to the minister, and she was complaining about her lack of faith and her lack of hope. And so the minister agreed that he would pray for her. And so in the prayer, the minister asked that she might have troubles, that she might have tribulations, and that all manner of things might go wrong in her life. And when the minister finished, she said, "Well, that wasn't quite what I had in mind when I came to see you." And so the minister quoted to her these words from Romans chapter 5. "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." So we see that trials and tribulations are not just part of the Christian life, of Christian living. They are absolutely necessary. Because Jesus will not have his followers be like the seed that fell in the stony ground, that sprouted up quickly but had no depth of soil. Jesus will not have his followers desert him at the first sign of trouble. And so the purpose of this story is to encourage us. To encourage us when trials set in. And in this story we meet firstly one who sees us in our troubles. One who sees us in our troubles. Secondly, one who comes to us in our troubles. And then lastly, one who overcomes our troubles. The one who sees us. Just previous to this incident, Jesus had undertaken that astonishing miracle when with his creative power, he had fed the people, the 5,000. And no doubt, when the disciples were there, they would have expected great things for themselves and great things for their master. As to what it was they would finally achieve in Israel. But in verse 24, Jesus commanded them to go across to the other side of the lake. Verse 24, as they went, a storm arose, and they were struggling to sail against the wind that was blowing. And I'm sure that as they sailed, the disciples, they would have put all their energies into sailing the boat across. No doubt they had forgotten the miracle and the blessing that they had just experienced, because all their time was taken up with sailing this boat across. And we've all experienced this, haven't we? We've been in church on Sunday and we've heard a sermon that has really inspired us. And we've said to ourselves, "This is what I needed to hear. I shall now go home. I shall go to work with more zeal. I will be a better disciple for Jesus Christ." And then we reach home and someone in our family really annoys us. Or we're going to work on Monday morning and we're caught in a traffic jam. Get to work late. Desk full of memos and faxes. Get through the day. Stress, get home, have our tea. Before we know it's bedtime. And just before bed, we remember just how we have forgotten God so quickly. We have so often forgotten Him, but He has not forgotten us. When Mark recounts this story of Jesus walking on the waves, he tells us that when Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, there, down in the middle of the lake, he could see his disciples struggling. He could see them in all kinds of trouble. And of course, as he prayed, he would have remembered his friends down there in the boat, there on the lake. And we see there, do we not, a beautiful picture of Jesus praying for his church, his people in all kinds of difficulties, his people even having forgotten the blessings. But he is there. How true these words in the letter to the Hebrews are when the writer says that Jesus lives forever and he lives to pray, to make intercession for his people. He is the one who sees. But secondly, he is also the one who comes to us. He didn't only see them, he came to them. Came to them in their trouble and their distress at 3 a.m. as they were rowing and trying to get to the other side. They saw something in the distance. They spotted something. They spotted someone. It couldn't be, though. It couldn't be. But sure enough, this figure came closer and closer to them until in the end they were convinced it was a person coming towards them. And they were so afraid in the boat that they shouted out. They shouted for fear. Why? Because they hadn't witnessed the Lord's power in this way ever before. And how often it is the same with us. Especially before we are saved, before we come to Jesus Christ, we realize there's something missing in our lives. We realize that there is something that we need that is greater than ourselves. And we know also that this person we need is Jesus. But we're afraid. We're afraid that he'll come in and that he'll spoil our plans. And that he'll come too close to us. But yet we are encouraged here, are we not? To come to Jesus. To accept him. Because no storm is too great for him. There is no difficulty in our lives that he cannot overcome. And so we, on this day, we come to this Jesus who cares for us, who comes to us, who offers us fellowship with himself. He was the one who came to them. But he was also the one who overcame their difficulties. And also the one who will overcome all our difficulties, as he did with Peter on that night. We see Peter so often portrayed, do we not, as a rash person, as one who was outspoken, as one who acted before he thought. But we see that Peter's problem here on the lake is lack of faith. Lack of faith, that was Peter's problem. Bold was his request, first of all, when he realized it was Jesus. And Peter said to him, Lord, if that's you, command me to come to you, and I'll walk to you on the waves. Now, I was thinking about this as I sailed across to Lewis last Tuesday, and the sea was rather choppy. And just how bold Peter was to make that request, to actually step off the boat onto the water. And we read that as he looked and as he focused on Jesus, he actually took a few steps along the sea over the waves. But then he looked around. He took his eyes off Jesus. He looked around and he saw the wind blowing. But he heard the wind blowing and he saw the waves around him. The wind was too strong. The sea was too rough. And he panicked. And he began to sink down in the waves. And in utter desperation, he cried out, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." Well, Jesus, he would have been right to have given him a good ducking, wouldn't he? And to have said to him, "Simon, you stupid big fisherman, you know how you're always acting before you think. You know how weak your faith is. You know how it always lets you down." Was that what he discerned? Supposing it was, that was not the way that Jesus reacted to him. He put out his hand. He put out his hand and caught hold of Peter and lifted him up. Now, we'd all agree, would we not, that Peter would have been extremely foolish not to have reached out to Jesus and caught hold of him. And yet, how many people leave church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and they haven't grabbed the hand of Jesus? He has come near. He has shown he is the one who cares. He has shown he is the one who loves. And by his gospel, he has reached out. And yet, so many people fail to grasp hold. It's true to say that Peter's faith, it was not adequate. It wasn't adequate for him to walk along the sea. But you know, he had enough faith. His faith was strong enough to trust in Jesus. He knew there was one near to him, one who could save him out of his difficulty, out of his trial. And so he called to him. Maybe you feel today that your faith is weak. Maybe you feel helpless. Nothing. You feel nothing but a baby in terms of your faith. But does a parent reject a baby because it's small and helpless? Will a parent only accept their child once the child has grown up and come to maturity and able to look out for themselves? Not at all. The parent cares for that child. The parent loves that child in its helplessness. And so it is with our God. When we trust in him, he cares for us. He loves us. He looks after us. 10 months ago, my first cousin. She had twins, and they were born 3 months prematurely. And you know, for the next 5 months, these two babies, they were looked after night and day. They had constant monitoring, constant supervision. Now at 7 months, they're doing very well, and their development is just what would be expected from children who are born at the right time. But they were in intensive care, and you know something? Every Christian is in God's intensive care. And in many ways, there seems to be a contradiction. How can we be in God's intensive care when we're expected to survive in this world? Well, there is in one way a contradiction. But in another way, we see that this is how God would have it. Remember Jesus as he was being taken away to be crucified, and he was praying for the last time. And what did he ask? He asked his Father not to take his followers out of the world, but that they might be kept in the world, that they might be kept safe, and that they might live in this world by faith. And of course, that we might look to him in our trouble, and that we might indeed trust that he is the one who is going to keep us. And yes, it is possible for a Christian to have more hassles in life than hope and expectation. But of course, there is a day coming, isn't there? There is a day coming when we will enter a new kingdom, a glorious kingdom, the kingdom which Jesus himself has prepared for us. That great house, that great city that Jesus himself has prepared. And there is a place for you, there is a place for me, when we trust in him and when we look to him for his help and his encouragement. Amen. That God would bless his word to us. Let us pray. Lord God our Father, you have shown us today that you did not leave your disciples alone in the ship on that day, but you watched over them and you came to them and you delivered them. And when you came into the boat with them, there was a great calm. And O Lord, we pray that if there be any here today who are suffering from troubles and trials and fears, that they might look to you, that they might pray that prayer even like Simon, Lord, save me, and that they might know your presence with them, helping them, encouraging them. O God, we thank you that this word is living. It is true. It is that which gives us a hope beyond today and tomorrow, even to the end of time. Guard us and guide us. Therefore, O Lord, we ask and pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.